Second Book of Chronicles, chapter 21, verses 14 to 15. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. DK Shadow says boobs, the movie. I was wondering what it was. Was this a joke? Was this AI generated? But no, it's actually a publicity for an actual movie with Sydney Sweeney. And they're playing on the memetics of her boobs saving Western civilization. It's the first time I see a movie that's released in theater use mimetics of the internet so clearly and so quick that it's quite interesting. I've quickly watched the trailer of the movie Immaculate. It's a horror movie featuring Sydney Sweeney. She is a nun. She gets hired in... she's the rising star of a convent. In Italy, in the Catholic Church, and she gets impregnated, and either her or another girl gets impregnated, and now you have the priest starting to argue, well, it's a miracle, an impregnation without insemination. So it's a whole play on the Bible, and it's a horror movie, and I don't know more about the movie, but it's interesting that they decided to play a kind of fake Sydney Sweeney as if she was starting a Bible study. It's like she's starting a Bible study show or something, but no, it's just a meme, really just a meme. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tomorrow will be my last show before I go on vacation. To start, because I was already feeling in vacation mode, I prepared a meal of my own invention today for my new girlfriend, and it was good. I'm satisfied by the result. We ate this a couple of hours ago. In anticipation for our vacations, I wanted to prepare the best meal of my life for my new girlfriend. A creation that I wanted her to be the only one in the world to have ever tasted. I call it cashew duck. Crystallized raspberry and maple syrup around cashews, roasted with boiled bok choy, sous vide duck packed with thyme flavor, a fried slice of pear with salt, pepper, and thyme, and a slice of seared foie gras with thyme, salt, and pepper. A raspberry white wine and butter reduction is poured on the foie gras and pear, and the sous vide cooking juice of the duck is poured on the breast, buttered morel mushrooms on the side. Here's the plate. That is really that's the best I can reach in terms of creating a new concept meal. So basically, I started thinking around cashews. Let me tell you, it looks super flavorful and everything, and it was very good. It was like fine cuisine good. But everything was tasting neutral. It's a very neutral meal. You know, the cashews weren't particularly flavorful. The morel mushroom flavor is very subtle. The bok choy is subtle, more celery-like vegetable. So all of this tasted extremely well integrated together. The two tastes that really pop out were raspberry and foie gras and thyme. But it was extremely subtle. And amazingly, this is my ideological process to get to this meal. It took about a month because I was thinking, okay, my girlfriend, I want to impress her. I want to show her that I master mixes of flavors, and I want to show her not only that I can do something good, because everyone can do something good, but I wanted to show her I can take risks and I can succeed while taking risks. So I wanted a flavor that I had never tasted, and raspberry came into my mind. Originally, thinking about this meal, I was thinking about two ideas. First, my girlfriend, I caught her eating cashews so often that I was like, okay, she likes cashews, so it needs to revolve around cashews. And then I was thinking about the sea. For some reason, I was like, there's this feeling when you eat an oyster of nothingness, you know, how just the salt of the sea tastes, but it's subtle. I wanted a subtle meal, subtle flavors. And so I was like, okay, so the cashews, what do we do? Well, there's the cashew chicken that my girlfriend talked to me about that they eat in the US. So I said, okay, cashew chicken, how about we do cashew duck? So now we integrate the duck flavor with the cashew. Now, what's the feature of a cashew chicken a la Asian? You know, if you go into random Asian restaurants, and so the feature is that there's all these vegetables below, and you're really interested in the pieces of chicken and cashews. That's the most interesting part of the meal, but then it's flowing into massive amounts of vegetables that are kind of sweet. They're bald, sweet. They're extremely tasty. So I thought, okay, we come in with the bok choy. The bok choy plays the role of the vegetable in the cashew chicken. Now, how can I improve on the cashew? Well, this is where I started thinking, okay, Asian cuisine is all about salt and sweet, so I need a sweet flavor, and I want it to pop out. And I was thinking, what if I was preparing an oyster and I wanted to brighten this oyster with a spectacular flavor that's unexpected? And I thought raspberry. So raspberry reduction. So this morning I wake up, I start boiling raspberry in a pan. I add butter. I add a branch of rosemary so that the raspberry comes with an even intense flavor of pine from the forest. So I end up with this whole juicy raspberry puree. And I lighten it up with white wine. So I have white wine, rosemary, raspberry, all reducing into a juice. I filter it with with a strainer so that I can get most of the raspberry seeds out. So now I find myself with a juice that's red and raspberry seeds with intense rosemary flavor. So I'm like, perfect. Now I put my cashews at the bottom of a oven pan, and I layer it with the raspberry seed and some of the white wine and rosemary flavor. And then I put those cashews in the oven. And I add maple syrup so that the whole thing will crystallize with raspberry taste around the cashews. So I roast this for 30 minutes to an hour in the oven. I get them out. Now the cashews, if you just got them out, they are hot. And they are kind of, they lost their crunchy aspect. But then I let them dry on the table all day. And after 4 or 5 hours, they become crunchy again. And now suddenly the maple syrup is shiny around the cashews. And I taste one of them. And it's like an explosion of flavor. I feel the raspberry. I feel the rosemary. I feel the maple syrup. I'm like, okay, I scored on the cashews. Then I'm like, okay, I have a duck breast. So I sear the duck breast in a pan with lots of thyme on it, salt and pepper. I spend like 40 minutes just, not 40 minutes, like maybe 25 minutes just creating a very cooked fat layer on the duck breast. and then maybe just 5 minutes on the other side. Now, the duck breast is browned, but it's still juicy inside. And my goal was not to cook the inside then, because I take the duck breast, I put it in a bowl that I close under seal, and then I put it at 50 degrees Celsius, 49 degrees Celsius water for 1 hour and a half, sous vide cooking, just slowly cooking while remaining rare and bloody and juicy. And meanwhile, there's branches of thyme that are packed in, white wine is packed in the searing pan. I sear celery, carrots, I deglaze with white wine. This gives me a juice that I insert into the sealed container of the duck for sous vide cooking. And then, okay, I'm like, okay, this gives me 1 hour 30. When the duck will come out, I need to be all prepared so I can prepare the other components of my meal. I start frying slices of pear. So this is a slice of pear with a ginger tattoo. My idea was, how about it's a pear, but it has a tattoo of ginger on it. So I take some slices of fresh ginger. I rub them all over the pear slice, and I let them stand there, accumulate the pear juice, and then I rub them so that the pear starts tasting like ginger. And then I throw these pear slices with their ginger little piece onto a very hot oil so that I fry them. It leads to pear chips that are basically, I've salt and peppered them, pear chips. And just before the duck eventually becomes ready, I take a slice of foie gras and I put it in a searing pan for 30 seconds on each side, leading to a taste of duck liver that has been fattened by the foie gras process of overfeeding the duck for 21 days. Now this becomes a cooked slice of foie gras. And at the end of the cooking, I throw maple syrup in the pan. The maple syrup starts crystallizing, forming a caramel of maple syrup around the foie gras. And then I start laying this on the pan while also buttering the morel mushrooms in a pan with salt and pepper. So I lay the bok choy. I throw some cashews over it. I put the slice of pear, the foie gras piece, the duck breast. Then I throw some raspberry sauce that's been even more reduced so it's thicker. And then I put the juice of the sous vide cooking. I layer this with fresh thyme to decorate with fresh looking herbs. And then 3 clean morel mushrooms on the side. That is what I've done today. How are you doing? What's happening in the news? I have no clue because I have prepared the crystallized raspberry duck meal for my girlfriend. New guy says, cooking show, bro. Yes, it is. Long Live says, white people don't know how to season their food. That's what they say. That's what they say, but I'm satisfied with the taste of this. Now, very impressive. In the end, everything was extremely subtle. And this is what I liked eating in that very special place of extremely subtle flavors because, you know, when you are with a new girlfriend, she may be intimidated by high-level cooking. You don't want to attack her with tastes that you know are out there. It's not time to be experimental. It's time to show, look, fine cuisine can be reduced to something extremely simple, but that puts you in an emotional state that you're not used to be and that makes you taste things that are so subtle that it kind of requires a certain level of intelligence to enjoy this meal. And this is exactly where it struck. The pear came out super like lack of taste. The herb taste of it were super clean in the sense that you could really just feel the fresh thyme. And there was nothing else. It was like being in an oyster or drinking ocean water, very, very low flavor in the end. Although this was all very good, you know, of course, if you have duck fat and foie gras, of course, it's good, but it's just neutral flavored. Exactly where I, exactly this reminded me as I was eating it that it's exactly what I wanted to aim for. So all in all, a massive experience, and the cashews were a success in my view. You know, giving cashews the raspberry seed flavor, that is something that was a big bet that I was doing with this meal, and I consider that my bet was successful. We enjoyed it very much. Charles Garrity says it's a very effective lady magnet in my experiment, in my experience. Blackwater Park says I haven't had duck in forever. Yeah, duck, it had been a while. It may have been a year or two since I last ate duck. A new study looks maxing. Begins in the womb. According to a new study, a pregnant woman who consumes more protein during pregnancy will produce offspring with a larger and better formed nasal cavity and jaw. The amount of protein consumed by pregnant woman modulates the facial appearance of offspring. So high protein diet for pregnancy is ideal. I'm not surprised at all. Of course, that doesn't mean to be deprived in fats, because fats are important for brain development. But I'm not surprised that proteins ultimately will have a big influence on facial structure. And the more protein, the more beautiful, apparently. Good to know. Ex-suspends dissident leader and Candace Owens supporter, Candace Owens. At Free Blexit, the Blexit, you know, the idea that black people should be exiting the Democrat plantation, too free of a speech for Twitter. Of course, there, Candace Owens is an account that reached instant success, but that was very much people were suspecting, and I thought indeed that Candace Owens was Nick Fuentes. So this is another case of Nick Fuentes creating an alt account to get onto a Twitter space because he was invited on the Keith Woods Twitter space. And eventually got banned again because Twitter has this policy of you cannot circumvent a ban. But he's circumventing a ban from a previous administration that was against free speech. You would think that Elon Musk should be able to open his heart. The public discussion needs Nick Fuentes. And he's a reasonable guy. He's been making just stellar points. You know, on Keith Woods, he's delivering a speech that is pretty much some of the best political commentary you could develop at the time, you know, about current news. I've never heard personally, you know, someone else have the equivalent of talent in terms of analyzing the current situation. So why is Nick Fuentes banned from Twitter? We basically have all similar positions. If anything, I'm slightly more of an extremist than Nick Fuentes. I really don't know what it is that makes it so that I am on Twitter and Nick Fuentes is not. I mean, ultimately, it's the level of popularity and the fact that there's much more pressure for him not to be on Twitter. Ultimately, it's the fact that the ADL really, really hates him and really finds him problematic. But he should be part of the public conversation. It's all very important themes, especially as the Israel and Gaza war has risen. The question of ethnic influence in our media in America is conditional to even have a non-S conversation. as long as Nick is not in the public conversation, I consider that we're just basically bullshitting and farting in the air. It's like we're blowing bubbles of meaninglessness. Because you have basically people like Ben Shapiro, The Daily Wire, shutting down certain subjects. And we don't have a public space where they can be countered. If Nick was on Twitter and the whole Candace Owens stuff happens, Nick would have the chance to release tweets that are opposing to this, that are telling his own version of the story, just like he did with the Candace Owens account. And these tweets would have a chance to meme, and they would force people like the Daily Wire to answer to these attacks. As long as we don't have this, we're playing a fake game of conversation. And Elon Musk, in particular, is playing a fake game of free speech. Bring back Nick Fuentes. I will not consider that this country is free until Nick Fuentes can speak. Now, is it true what I've seen? Elon seems to have said on Twitter that the Twitter Blue service, the X premium service, will be free for people like me who have more than 10,000 followers. I think I've seen this a couple of days ago. I'm disappointed because I wanted to pay Elon for his free speech enterprise. But now Elon is telling us that it will be free. But my problem is Elon had this whole project that we're going to charge people, but we're going to deliver a free speech service. Now, if he's not charging people anymore, to the point of even giving to an enthusiastic fan like me, he's going to give free X premium. Does that mean that ultimately, in his heart, Elon Musk has abandoned the project of free speech, that he just realized that he wasn't making enough from these payments and he's turning toward the advertisers now? If that is so, we might expect even more censorship, even more than we see with Nick Fuentes. That is really too bad because I'm being deprived of my opportunity to throw money at Elon, to encourage him to keep me on the platform. That is a worrisome development. In other important news of free speech, Bronze Age Shotty, an annoying account, sometimes making relevant points, sometimes kind of worrying me in her tweets. I don't know, I've been confused about who Bronze Age Shotty is. But in any case, she has been fired from her job. I was fired last year because I was posting too hard out of respect for the company and a desire to not dox myself. I kept most of the details hidden. However, I've decided to heed the call of my divine mission to stand up and fight for all the posters out there just trying to move collective consciousness through fun, edginess, and breaking taboos through posting. They don't want us to have fun online, outside, inside, or anywhere. With the help of Elon Musk and X, I'm suing Block Inc., my former employer, to fight back against censorious anti-free speech politics and policies. Thank you to the team at X for your support, and thank you to the Praxis community for connecting me to future employers and helping me navigate all of this. Thank you to all my friends and powerful mutuals who supported me through this time. We can't let them win. I am just an e-girl trying to survive the information war. And X News confirms they are funding a lawsuit by Chloe Happ against her former employer, Block. It's good to see people be courageous. But at the same time, it's weird because you have X, which is not free speech because it has no Nick Fuentes, that is pursuing free speech for other people and other corporations. Clean your room, Elon. Clean your room. Clean your penis, would say Jordan Peterson. A glimpse into the economic world of Audible versus Otter. Someone shared this on the Discord and was asking, Jeff, didn't you say you were happy with Audible? And this guy is criticizing Audible. The thing is, there are things that are super annoying with Audible. You have no control over the pricing. You have no control over the percentage that you do on the sale. And they have this whole bizarre relationship with subscription, where they basically give your book for free to their subscriber and you don't get the money. But I've been still satisfied that Audible is there. I agree with the critiques there. But this guy is criticizing the fact that you have to spend $5,000 to $15,000 to have a professional production of your book in audio. Well, I saved all of this because I produced my own, with my own speech, I produced my reading of The Revolutionary Phenotype. So that cost me zero. It was just like 10 hours of intense work, reading it into a mic and eventually just cutting the audio in. So of course you don't want to pay for the audiobook to be produced because you might not even, if you're a small author, you might not even sell enough to be profitable on this. So you want to read your own book. Now he says they are not paying anything for the subscription system. The thing is that they're paying something. It's the bounty. The bounty is huge. Sometimes I make more money with bounties than with the sales of the book itself. So the sales of the book, you might make, $10 out of the $20 they sell it. It's good. It's not bad. Compared to the classical book industry, you would get nothing back then. So I'm happy that this is here. And then you can get the bounty. If someone subscribes to their service after they've listened to your book, if you've basically been bringing that person into their system, they give you $80. Boom. So sometimes I've been making a couple of $80 per month. So it's exploitation of authors, but it's much less worse than how they used to exploit authors before. So if you don't like it, just don't put your book on Audible. You can totally have the choice to start your own website, publish an MP3 of your book and sell it even. You can do this. Personally, I know that there is a lot. I would like more control on Audible. I would like to be able to charge what I want, and then I could adjust the amount of profit I make per book. But other than this, it's just it's what it is. Audible is a kind of a monopoly, but it's a deserved monopoly because they kind of invented a new market. It didn't used to be the case that people were willing to pay for audiobooks. They basically dominated and invented this new market. So as an author, I see it more as an opportunity than a case of exploitation. Advertisers are suing Meta for allegedly inflating ad viewership in a $7 billion lawsuit. Let me tell you, this is omnipresent in the business. On the internet, the way impressions are counted, for example, on X, eventually will put them in trouble. Because the little number you see when you see 30 million under a Tucker Carlson video, that's 30 million impressions. Where it's been sent to a feed of a phone somewhere. But that doesn't even mean that the person even started the audio of the video. So it's really not viewers. And all the companies, they all have their weaknesses into how they process bot counts. Like, do they count raw bots? Will they count a ping made by Google as a viewer? That's not a viewer. That's a raw bot just trying to explore your website. So now Meta is being sued, but let me tell you, Meta is not even the worst. The whole industry has been bullshit from the beginning. I remember 15, 20 years ago, Google, you were buying ads on Google, you would get 100% traffic coming from these ads. They would all be Indian clickers. And there were Indians in India just spending their days clicking and bots, and they were all fake clicks. Basically, the whole idea that you can start a business and contact a customer base on the internet is totally overblown. Most of it is fake traffic. You're not going to get a real engagement unless you do something like me. Like, what I did in my life is a good example of a natural growing true crowd of people who have read my book, who have bought, who have sent super chats. But just buying an advertisement on Meta, you're going to get a flow of fake clicks, and they're just going to take your money away. People are criticizing Tim Pool for laughing at this video.
I was literally just walking, and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even tell.
Oh my God, she has a huge ball where she got hit. This tissue is inflamed to the maximum.
So bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground, and now this giant goose egg is forming, and I'm like, oh my God, it looks so crazy.
And so people right now are saying, Tim Pool, she gets hit by a random guy, and you think it's funny? And most people are answering, yes, it's funny. It is kind of funny whenever the woman of the city get hit by the consequences of their own voting. Of course, it sucks. I'm not sure that she voted Democrat, but it's almost certain. I mean, she lives in the city. She gets hit by an immigrant. She probably deserved part of this set of things that just happened. She probably caused some of it through her voting. But, and even if she doesn't, even if she's a true Republican in her heart, you know, it's time that people signal clearly, look, there are consequences to welcoming everyone. There are consequences to being a sanctuary city. And society will have to pay those prices, pay the tolls. Christina Buttons, a 27-year-old autistic woman, is dead because she has chosen to die. She couldn't handle the autism. Oh my God, that is so sad. Like, this could have been a wonderful girlfriend for someone in the crowd. I mean, it sucks that there are single men who all they would have wanted is this 27-year-old autistic woman. But this autistic woman, ultimately, by the way, autism never makes you feel bad about yourself unless you are in interaction with the normie society. The only way an autist comes to hate autism is because of the environment, because they are not accepted in the environment. All these cases of young autistic people who commit suicide, it's all because they were ultimately bullied, harassed, or they were feeling unwelcomed. And because an autist in and of itself is is not tied to depression. You're just going to enjoy the autism if you're left alone. But an Alberta judge has greenlighted the euthanasia for the 27-year-old autistic woman, despite objections from her dad, who says she is healthy, just vulnerable due to mental health problems. Christina Button says, I wish I could talk to her. I would share with her the difficulties I've had due to autism, what has helped me, and how my life didn't dramatically improve until after the age of 30. Well, I will say to this autistic woman, you are still alive, apparently. It was 27th of March, so she's probably still alive. If you want me to do a complete remake of your life, we're going to find you a boyfriend in our community that is filled with autists. And let me tell you, an autist female and an autist man together, you're going to love life. If you want to stay alive, if you want to cancel this whole Alberta suicide program, send me a DM and I'll find you a autistic boyfriend who will accept you the way you are, and you're going to connect with this guy. We have people of very high quality here on the regular chat. I'm going to pick someone very good for you, and I'm sure your life will get better. But don't let the normies convince you that you... The problem is this girl, this young girl, probably has been constantly told, oh, it's not okay, don't do this. Here, we have to train you to do something else than what you want to do. And she got trained out of her autism in a superficial facade. And it's very cognitively demanding to be maintaining this facade. By the way, this whole idea of training autistic people to behave normal socially has never been tested. We don't know what the outcome of it is. So they do this in schools because they're like, oh, well, look, they are better integrated. Yeah, but do you know if they're going to commit suicide 20 years down the line? No, you don't. And so she's putting on a facade and she doesn't need to. That's the sad thing with this news item. There was an interesting science paper, but it got withdrawn even before it got published. It was at the preprint stage. The association between adult penile length and IQ, evidences from 139 countries. Here, I'm going to ban this T-rolling guy. He's causing trouble in the chat. Penile length and IQ. I can imagine the correlation. It's probably the smaller the penis, the higher the IQ. That's probably how it is. So we don't need the study. In a way, we kind of all know it. But it would have been good to have the study to be able to quote it. You aren't ready for what's coming. Look at the Bitcoin situation. Halving now. The halving is coming in a couple of days from now. We are just at the entry into the hot phase. My God, this is going to be a beautiful candle. We're going up, boys. We're going up. I'm excited. This guy did a super... This is Mortal Kombat, Liu Kang, Savat attack happening in reality. So this young man is in Kyrgyzstan. And his father is getting arrested by some military or police guys. Look at the Savat. Oh, he kind of flew in the air. Look at this. Look at this. He's coming from here. Look at it. Oh my God. That is some high-level martial art. Taylor Lawrence, bizarrely, was seen at the Pornhub annual celebration, awards event. But Taylor Lawrence is this girl who docks libs of TikTok, this mainstream journalist. What is she doing at the Pornhub award event? People were wondering if she's going to start doing porn. I don't expect it because she can't even remove her mask. I mean, she's so immunosensitive. She has to wear a mask whenever she goes out in public. I can't imagine her, you know, sucking dicks on the everyday and starting a career in porn. So then that means she's there as a journalist. But what is she covering? Is she trying to rehabilitate the Pornhub reputation? Maybe that's what it is, because, you know, Pornhub got kind of dragged in the mud for, you know, sexual imagery of young girls, sometimes rapes make it to Pornhub. And so they've been having a very bad image problem in the last few years. Perhaps they are hiring Taylor Lawrence to make a fluff story about them, about how they are, you know, trans inclusive or whatever. I don't know, but something nefarious is afoot if Taylor Lawrence is dancing at a Pornhub event. In historic reversal, the U.S. is to restart a shutdown nuclear power plant for the first time ever. I totally stand behind this. It's great. We need to bring back. We need to bring back nuclear power. It's so good. We need to diminish the rules and the red tape and just make nuclear easy. Nuclear is producing just more electricity per units of fuel. We need to do it. Hazardous material containers breached during Baltimore Bridge collapse. I had said in my predictions for 2024 that we would see an infrastructure problem. The problem of competence would lead to accidents, bizarre accidents here and there. There's one. That's certainly one where the boat shut off, lost electricity, went straight into the bridge. The bridge collapsed. It's going to take 10 years to rebuild the bridge, they say. Well, well, well. What a shit show. And as a last news item, because I'm making I will be making short shows, because tomorrow is my last show before I go to vacation. So tomorrow will be short. I will just be basically coming here to chill with you guys, tell you bye-bye, because I'll be off the internet for a whole month. I might show up on my cell phone, maybe on Twitter streams, but that will be it. I'm leaving for vacation, so I'm making short shows as I'm already in the vacation mood. But last news item, Israel mounts largest attack on Syria in years, over 40 dead. On Friday, Israel conducted its deadliest strike on Syria. So they constantly bombard this country. It's time to stop. Stop attacking Syria. But they've been doing. People are saying no audio. Well, I was headed toward the end of the show anyway. I'll be re-uploading. I will be re-uploading a copy of the show. Oh,
Mm-hmm.